And all right, you guys can have a seat. I don't know, Justin, I see lots of faces, so they didn't worship their faces off like you challenged us to. So big disappointment. How are you guys doing this morning? You good? Happy to be alive? Yeah, all right, let's hear it. God is good, right? I'm so excited about this message. Such an honor and privilege to be speaking this morning. So I've got a question for you. Have you ever had a time in your life, or maybe it's happening now, where you're just kind of scratching your head, wondering, like, God, what are you doing? You know, I'm sure someone has told you, if you heard it said, or maybe you've told others as an encouragement, if it doesn't make sense, that means what? God's probably in it, right? And so I'm really excited about the message that I think that God has brought us today. And I know this has happened for me so many times. I was trying to think of just one example. There's so many. But probably one of the biggest times where I felt like that, or we felt like that, is when we went through the process of adopting Amaris. If you didn't know Amaris, right here, she's adopted, looks nothing like us. I always joke and say, like, I couldn't make anything that pretty, so we had to adopt it, right? So no offense to my boys, good-looking guys. So to offset that thing, it's Corey's birthday tomorrow. So, you know, we can make sure you wish him a happy birthday. And Caleb, too. Is Caleb here? I don't even know if he's here. No. I'll have to talk to him about that. So anyways, the adoption. So I don't know. The numbers, I'm not as good as the numbers as Carrie is. But many years ago, you know, God really put it on, first of all, Carrie's heart to adopt. And she's come from a family that you have, what, three siblings? See, numbers, where in her own family that were adopted, and the part of the church that we were involved in the ministry, the pastor and his family had adopted quite a few, like four or five or something like that, yeah. And so it had come up, you know, several times, but, you know, really put it on God's heart. And once I was, I got it through my thick head that, you know, this was something that, you know, God truly did put on her heart, and it wasn't a cool idea like, hey, let's get a dog. I started to adopt that, like, and be open to it, you know, and God really gave, you're not a dog. God really gave me that same burden. And so we were excited. The decision was made, and we're going to go forward. And I thought, you know what, we know that it was really expensive, but we thought God will provide, right? And it really felt like God had promised us that. And this whole theme of God's promise, you're going to hear a lot through all of today's message, which is really neat. And so right away, God answered that prayer, provided all the finances up front for everything. It was amazing. Like, what? So that was really exciting. We were all excited, and we're going through the process of the paperwork and all that. We set up a room. This is when we were in Colorado. And, you know, got the crib and the Winnie the Pooh thing and the little mobile, and we were so excited. And then we waited, and we waited, and we waited, kind of with last week's message, right, with Noah. Certainly not that long. And then I was laid off, and I started. So then we're like, okay, this is a new ripple. And I was looking and looking and looking for work, and we couldn't find it. And so did have an opportunity in Texas. And so that seemed like that was the only thing that was available. And so we ended up moving. And so we started saying to ourselves, like, I really hope that God doesn't answer our prayer now, because life is upside down. And so it was scary. It was confusing. Like, wait a minute, God, I thought, you know, you'd promised us this, and you even showed us that you're in this. Now what? And so moved to Texas and settled down there. And then finally, you know, we got that first, the packet with a picture of her. And of course, we were excited, and we finally moved into that, you know. And so much longer story there, but, you know, it was 2.5 years from when we said, yes, let's do this, to when we, until we finally got her. And what was interesting is when we wanted it, when we thought that God's promise was coming true, she wasn't even born yet. You know, so it's kind of interesting that, you know, and of course, going through that process, we've shared it with countless people, probably a lot of you here, we have such a powerful testimony to share. There's, again, so much to that. But so many times in our lives when our faith was stretched and we were like scratching, like, what are you doing, God? So many times we'd say, remember the adoption, you know, and it made it easier. Like, you know what? God proved himself. You know, he kept his word. We just need to learn to trust him and obey, right? And so that's my story, and I'm sure you all have stories where you're just like, God, I just don't understand what you're doing. And those are powerful testimonies, aren't they? They help us as we go day to day in our own, you know, just working out our faith and our salvation. And so today we're on week two of our bedtime stories, and I thought about coming in pajamas, but I don't have Penguin's pajamas. Gift idea. So I couldn't really do that, but maybe next week, you know. But we're in week two of bedtime stories, and so last week, if you remember, Justin brought the word, and we talked about Noah, right, and patience, and what that means, and how we can apply that to our lives. And so this week, we're continuing in the lineage of Noah. So one of Noah's sons, Shem, in his lineage, Abraham, comes from Shem's line. And so we're going to talk about Father Abraham had many sons. Come on, sing it. Right? I totally had forgotten that until a couple days ago. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. So yeah, we're going to be talking about Abraham. So his challenge, as you probably know, was quite different, quite more demanding than the one I certainly shared, and probably any of us, with his son Isaac. And so we're going to get in the Word a lot, if that's all right. Right, get open your Bibles or your, you know, your digital version, like I like to use, and we're going to dig into the story and kind of unravel this whole theme of, you know, God's promise when it seems like it doesn't make sense, and when God really does show up. All right, so let's get into it. So a little bit of background with Abram, and I say Abram because before God built or he went into a covenant with Abraham and Sarah, they were actually named Abram and Sarai. So you'll see that as you're following along in this story. But we're going to start in Genesis, again, book one here, chapter 22, verse 1 is where we're going to get started, all right? And if you don't have a Bible, we actually have them in the back. We'd love to gift that to you. So definitely want to connect you with the Word of God here at True North. If you're new, it's primary to everything we do. The Word of God, you know, is our steer for everything that we do. And so if you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you one. If you don't have it on an app, we'll have it up on the screen here. All right, Genesis 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. So we're going to stop there. You're already thinking, like, dude, you're gonna take this kind of pace all day long here? But no, I think it's really interesting to remember as we go through this story that God is choosing to test Abraham, and we're going to see why. All right, so God tested Abraham. He said to Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you. Okay. Wow. A bit of a test, right? You know, and it's really interesting to speculate the emotions that Abraham must have felt. And if you know some of the story of Abraham, a powerful man of faith. I mean, he traveled around from city to city. He acquired a lot of great wealth and a lot of favor. Before this, he walked with God and his angels. He was involved with Lot and saw what happened with Sodom. So he knew more than many of us, maybe, the immense power and sovereignty of God. And this test that is in front of him still, it's at this time, it's his only son. And so there's a couple emotions I think we can look earlier in his story and kind of figure out, you know, maybe where he was or how he was feeling. So I think he at least was probably tempted with a little bit of confusion when he heard this test from God. So I want to go back earlier into Genesis 17, verse 19, and tell you why. So Genesis 17, 19, God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. Okay, this was before God's test, God telling him to sacrifice his son, his only son at the time, and Isaac was in his 20s, he wasn't married, didn't have any children. So there's a conflict here, right? God promised one thing, but now it seems like he's testing me in something entirely different, okay? Remember that. So I think confusion may have been something he was tempted with, right? It's like, wait a minute. And I'm sure some of you would say that too, right? You've gone through some difficult times and like, but God, your word says this and I'm experiencing this. I don't understand, right? We wrestle with that a lot when we see, you know, seemingly bad things happen to good people, right? That's usually the question of the time it comes up. Like, but wait, God, you promised this, but I see this happening. Help me understand, right? And more on a kind of a lighter note, I was thinking of Abraham's, like the covenant and the promise that Abraham had. And two other times before this test from God, Abraham was receiving these prophecies of how his descendants would be many, right? And so he knew that he had this great promise and this great role to play. But I think even in spite of all of that, we do have examples of where Abraham demonstrated some fear. So a couple verses here. Let's go back even further to Genesis 12, starting in verse 11. As he, Abraham, was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife, Sarah, I know what a beautiful woman you are. Aww. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they'll kill me, but they'll let you live. So, great idea. Say, you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. Okay, so Pharaoh takes her into his palace, and bad things start happening, and Pharaoh comes to him and says, dude, what's up? What are you doing to me? I'm coming under all this judgment and all these curses, and I find out she's your wife? And you'd think that'd be enough for him to learn, like, all right, I'm not going to do that again. But no, he did it again. In Genesis chapter 20, verse 2, and this is when they're, again, I remember they're traveling from city to city, and they're staying in a city called Gerar. And Abraham said to his wife, Sarah, she is my sister. Then Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent for Sarah and took her. And later in verse 10, it says, Abimelech answered Abraham after he too, where he was experiencing these repercussions of doing so. What was your reason for doing this? Abraham said, I said to myself, there's surely no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. All right, so pause. Ladies, if your husband went to you, like, all right, honey, you're so beautiful. You're so great. But here's the thing. I need you to say you're my sister. And they're going to take you, you know, and, you know, you're going to be in the palace and things happen. But it's cool because I'm really worried about my life. But I want you to go and do this thing for me. All right. And there's even a previous scripture that he sets up this understanding with her, saying from city to city to city to city, wherever we go, you're my sister. Cool? I mean, come on. What kind of lady is this that would go along with this? You know, but his motivator in both of these examples that we're reading about is fear, right? So Abraham, even though we can probably rightly assume a powerful, strong oak man of God, he demonstrated some fear and some bad decisions here, right? Right. And so I think back to that, you know, with this test that God's put in front of him, I think it's pretty safe to say fear was a part of this, right? His only son. And God is telling him, go and sacrifice him. So let's pick up back at the story, right? So Genesis 22 is where we started. We're in verse 3 now. So early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he sent out for a place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We'll worship, and then we will come back to you. So already right there, we're starting to see some evidence of Abraham's faith, right? Unless he's lying to his servants, he's saying, we'll be back, both of us. And so, again, we have to speculate, but I've got to believe that Abraham was thinking a lot during this whole time, right? Remembering God's promises, remembering who God is, remembering his sovereignty, his promise, knowing that God is not one to lie, right? He knows it, that he speaks truth, but he's going through this thought process, and even here, right before this, we see this first evidence of his faith, which is really neat. And just as a sidebar, I think it's kind of interesting to look at the character of God and see the similarities to the story of Jesus here, right? Take your son, your only son, whom you love, sacrifice him. Isaac helped him carry the wood for the altar, for the sacrifice, right? Kind of interesting, right? That we can draw those comparisons. So in verse 7, we start to see more and more of Abraham's confidence. I think we can see evidence that he's really starting to hold on to this promise that he knows that God has made him, even though he's been told to do something that seems that it doesn't reconcile. So let's keep going. Verse 7. So Isaac spoke up and said, "Father." Abraham said, "Yes, my son." "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" What would you say in this situation? Would you, I don't know, or you're it, or what he says, though, is another piece of evidence of he's holding on to the promise that God gave him. He answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. So again, he's holding on to that. He's speaking the truth. Maybe he doesn't feel like it. I don't think it's fair to say he had zero fear. As he's walking to this place, God told him to go to sacrifice his son. That direction still stays when he's saying this, right? He didn't have any hint, and God's like, "It'll be kind, I'm going to have a thing." No, but he's speaking the truth, right? He's standing on what he knows, and he's speaking it. He's owning it, and he's acting in that in accordance to it, right? So now we're moving into this is where God provides, right? Verse 9 is where we left off. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Again, just thinking about how we don't see what happened here. Tell me more. I just wish we had more of what are they saying to each other? What's Isaac doing? Is he fighting? Is he cool with this? Is Abraham explaining the challenge that he has in front of him or not? Where is Isaac's heart in this whole thing? Is he joining his father in belief that, okay, I trust you, Dad. Keep going here. Then he reached out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. All right, in my challenges, there's I feel like, when we're in some of our darkest times, when we're trying to figure out what God is doing, we reach a certain point, all of us, right, where we're like, enough. I think back many, many years ago when we lived in Colorado, we had just bought our first house, and my wife and I worked for the same company, we had a new car, and we were just starting our life there in Colorado, and we both lost our job at the same day. We were terrified. We just got this house. We just got a car that we were leasing or payments. And so we had all this financial responsibility, and we both lose our jobs the same minute. And I just remember breaking down and saying, I'm at the end of me. You can take my stuff, but you can't take my faith and my family, Satan. Have at it. And I just remember that heart posture I had to be at, I'm at the end of me. I trust you. And I think of that moment a lot when I'm going through difficulties and struggles too. And I'm sure you have those moments. Hold on to those, because that's when you can remember God's promise, right? So he took out the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called out from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld me, your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by his horns. He went over and took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." Amen. And to this day it is said, on the mountain, "The Lord, it will be provided." So God's test, Abraham's faith, the blessing, and he goes on in verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time. And I wonder at this moment if Abraham's like, really? We just went through this. Yay. Thank you so much. And you know, I wonder if he was like, a second time? Is there another test coming? What are you going to ask of me now? But that wasn't the case. It says here in verse 15, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore." And I want to pause here again because there's a couple times prior to this. Remember I said that God had promised himself to Abraham, "Your descendants will be many." He's referring back to those right there, both instances. There was one time where God took Abraham out of his tent and they looked at the stars and he said, "As many as the stars you see here, this will be how many descendants you will have." And once before that, he said, "The dust of the earth, this is how many descendants you will have." So now he's bringing that all back to his remembrance. You know, he's saying, I made these promises to you. I made this covenant with you. I specifically spoke to you about your son Isaac. Then I told you to kill him. But then I provided. And here, let's look back at the whole thing. Do you trust me? Remember when I said this? And I challenged you, I tested you, but I provided. Do you trust me? And it's a beautiful look back to that whole process. And so, you know, the message here speaks for itself, doesn't it? I mean, there are so many promises in the Word of God. Over 7,000 promises from God to man in the Word of God. That's a lot of promises, right? And I think, you know, Satan wants nothing more than for us to forget about or not even know about the promises in his word when we're faced with tests, when we're faced with trials, big or small. But this is a powerful story that if we do, if we know those promises, we stand on those, we hold on the truth of those promises, enormous strength is available to us. You know, God didn't choose a trial of, "I want you to go and take your entire inheritance of all your sheep and kill them all, your livelihood." That wasn't enough. Take your one and only son. This is the kind of test I'm going to put in front of you. And so my challenge to all of you is we've got to know God's promises, right? We've got to know God's promises. What are some things that you've struggled with or you currently struggle with or you're trying to do on your own and you don't really understand where is God in that situation? Search his word and find his promises. We're going to read all 7,458 of those, so here we go. No, I'm kidding. But I do want to show a few of these. I do want to go through a few of these. First of all and foremost, salvation, right? Have you ever maybe at some point in your life wondered, I don't even know, like, if I were to die today, where I would go? Like, I mean, I have the head knowledge, but maybe not the heart knowledge. I'm not really sure. Or certainly some of us probably have in the past. But Romans 10:9 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him, Jesus, from the dead, you will be saved." That simple. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, you'll be saved. Your eternity is secure. Anybody need some comfort in life? Life just a breeze for everybody here? 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, "Praise be to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God." And I got to share this story with you. To prove how real this is. About 3 weeks ago, this lady who works for me, her name is Tanya, an amazing woman of God. amazing woman of God, and her mom also. They lived in Europe for a while and then moved to Tennessee, and her mom had just this long legacy of ministry and service to the community, and sadly, she fell ill, and about 3 weeks ago, her mom passed away, and her mom was living with her for quite some time during her decline and her illness. Very, very close, the two of them, extremely close, and so when her mom passed, obviously, it was very devastating to her, and she had a couple weeks off for bereavement and taking care of everything, and we were able to catch up just last week for the first time. And I didn't want to bring everything up and cause pain to her, and so we were kind of business as usual a little bit. And I was wrapping up my check-in with her, and she said, "Greg, I got to tell you, we've talked about things the Lord a lot." And she said, "Greg, I've got to tell you this cool testimony." I said, "Go for it, please." She said, "The day after my mom passed, obviously I was a mess. And there was a knock at my door, and I opened it, and this gentleman was here. I haven't seen him before. I said, 'Can I help you?' And he said, 'I'm sorry to bother you,' he said, 'but I was jogging by your place, and I heard God tell me I need to come and talk to you and pray with you.' And he said, I ignored it. I kept going, but he said it again. And so I came back. I stood at your door, hesitating, and God said it a third time. So I rang your doorbell." Wow. Yeah, gives you chills, right? And of course, she just broke to pieces, and they had a beautiful time of him praying for her and encouraging her. But like we just read here, I'm not making this up, God gave her a word to comfort, to encourage him. And she didn't share with me the specifics of that, but he too was blown away. "No, you're a stranger to me. How would you know this?" And so they had a beautiful time of just comforting each other and living out this promise right here. I had to share that with you. Isn't God good? Amen. Come on, man. Isn't God good? So, comfort. How about direction? Anybody need a little direction in their lives? Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, we've all heard this one. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to him. Here's your promise, and he will direct your paths." He will make your path straight. Wisdom. How about some wisdom? My dad told me so many years ago, pray for wisdom every day. And I wonder if he was like, "Because I'm dumb," or I have to talk to him about that. James 1, 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and here's your promise, it will be given to you." And then one more, how about some strength, some peace? Anybody need some strength or peace in their lives? Psalm 29:11 says, "The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." And we could go on and on, right? I'm sure you guys have some favorite verses that you stand on in those times of strength. I would encourage you that, you know, if you can think of struggles that you typically have or struggles that you're going through now, search the Word, find those promises, and stand on them. Stand on them like Abraham did, because Satan doesn't want you to go there, right? Think about when Jesus himself was tempted. What did he use to shut Satan up? The Word of God. We can't do it on our own. We can't will through it. We can't push through it on our own. We can't even use each other as much as we'd like to. We have to lean on the Word of God. And you know what's really neat is, looking back at Abraham's story, the testimony, I mean, we're talking about it today, right? But fast forward all the way into the Word of God to Hebrews chapter 11, and he's given credit for how he lived his life. Verse 8 through 9 says here in Hebrews 11, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of that same promise." So, like our story, I know our story of the adoption and, you know, other things we've gone through, it's a testimony and it's encouragement to others, right? And your stories and your paths of being tested and leaning on God and seeing his promise come through. Those are powerful testimonies. Don't ever hesitate to share those, right, with boldness, because they can truly bless and make a big difference. And so I want to leave you with a challenge. And I didn't mean to make this acronym, but it just kind of happened after I wrote my notes out. And so the acronym is, and it helps us remember, is SORT, get yourself sorted. Tanya and others that I've worked with in England, they use that a lot. Like, did you get it sorted? Like, I got it figured out. Is that what you mean? But so get yourself sorted, S-O-R-T, we're going to look at really quick, and then we'll be done. So first of all, surrender. Surrender your emotions. Abraham did this, right? We saw evidence of how he stood on the promise that God gave him. I'm not saying he didn't have emotions. He's human, right? But surrender your emotions. Believe and trust in Jesus. It's all about faith, right? And we saw that with Abraham. Number two is obey. Obey God's commands. Obedience takes action. And that's what we, again, saw with Abraham, didn't we? He brought the wood. He didn't say, like, all right, well, I'll be there, and I'm just going to stand around and wait. I'm sure God's going to provide. He actually went through the steps of getting the wood, building the altar, tying his son to it, right? I don't know about y'all, but I don't think I'm that caliber of person. I'm the parent that would probably be like, okay, kids, I'm going to count to three. One, two, you know, and I'd be like, come on, God, you're going to answer, right? Or before I even built an altar, I'd probably take my time and lollygag, like, do I really need to build this? Or tying, you know, his son, did he hesitate? But he was obedient, right? And he was credited for that. So that's the O. R, remember Jesus's promises. One of the best things that we can do when we're struggling or going through difficult times is remember when God showed up before, right? I trust that he has for all of you before today, right? Remember Jesus' promises. And you know that Abraham had to constantly remind himself of that promise, right? Even though he's going through and obeying God's command, I'm sure he kept reciting in his mind, but God promised me with Isaac, you know, his descendants will be great, specifically. Lastly is T for trust. Trust him when your faith is tested. And faith is scary, isn't it? Faith goes against us. And that's why it's a test. You know, a really cool saying I heard years ago was, when you're taking a test, the teacher's silent, right? And it can be a lonely and scary and difficult time, but if we stand on the word of God, the truth of his word, and know that he'll show up, then we're going to see victory. We're going to see and realize that blessing. Amen? So that's the story of Abraham. Powerful, powerful takeaways that we can have here. So again, the word of God, stand on that. If you don't have them written out, if you don't have them saved somewhere, if you don't have them pasted on your mirror or wherever you can access them really quickly, go dig into the word of God, find those promises that help you stand in the gap when you're being tested, because we all are. Amen. Let's close in prayer.